All right, let's look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Notice that phrase, "in our image." Amen. "After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man, there it is again, in his own image. Amen. "In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Amen. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." We'll stop there. That's a good starting point. And we'll pray. Father, we do thank you for this day and for this opportunity. It's just a joy to be here tonight, a joy to open your word. And Father, you well know the situation in our nation. And Lord, you know the help that we need. Amen. Father, we need to understand these things. You told us how the devil comes as an angel of light, always as something good, and promises wonderful things. But underneath, Lord, we know what he's all about. Yes. And so I pray tonight as I preach the message I believe you've led me to preach, that you'd help me. I know there's a lot of things to read and things to say here, so I need your help tonight. Amen. May your word go forth with power and clarity and have free course this evening. And Lord, help us to be attentive. I know folks, some have worked all day today and they're here tonight. Please, God, help us to just keep our attention on thee and thy word tonight. So again, I ask a filling of your spirit. Help us as we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, for the past several weeks, we have been asking a very important, foundational, and timely question that every Christian, and really every American for that matter, needs to consider. And that is the question, is socialism biblical? Been talking about that for 4 weeks now. And the reason that this question is so important, particularly now, is because of the resurgence and embracing of this socioeconomic system that is being deceitfully marketed. It is being deceitfully marketed as something that will be the solution to all of America's problems, if it's run properly, of course, and of course they'll do it right. It's being marketed as a system that they say is kind, that is compassionate. It's a system that they say is caring and selfless and community-focused, unlike that greedy capitalism. Socialism's different. They say it's a system that promises equality. It's a system that promises fairness. It's a system that promises justice for all. And we know that there is a whole host of people that are being lured in by these claims. According to an October 2019 article written by Megan Henney, it was published in Fox Business. She writes this: "Millennials are increasingly embracing socialism over capitalism. According to a new poll which found that at least 70% of Americans between the ages of 23 and 38 were somewhat likely to cast a ballot for a socialist." That's a high number, my friend. Right. I understand the age, 23 to 38, but 70% according to this poll. The poll also found that 50% of millennials and 51% of Generation Z, which are ages 16 to 22, I don't know where they get these names. They ran out of the alphabet. They should have started a little bit, you know, maybe in W. But anyway, 51% of Generation Z have a favorable view of capitalism, which is a drop from 2018. So it's getting less and less. So while capitalism is still viewed favorably by no doubt a slight majority in younger people, socialism and even communism are gaining steam. And fast. Very fast. And I believe the reason for it is ignorance. That's what I believe. That's why I'm preaching these messages. Amen. The Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation was founded in 1993 by a unanimous act of Congress. It was actually under the leadership, believe it or not, of Bill Clinton. But they write on this website today, quote, positive attitudes towards communism and socialism are at an all-time high in the United States. You see, even they are sounding the alarm. It's not just preachers. We have a solemn obligation to expose the lies of Marxism for the naive who say they are willing to give collectivism another chance. New generations need to confront the reality of Marxism in practice. Socialism is not a kind humane philosophy. Marxist socialism is the deadliest ideology in history.
Right.
Have we forgotten that? We've lost a connection to our history, haven't we? Particularly the young people. They have no idea about the history of socialism and the millions upon millions. It's killed. But that's its record. So you and I need to both understand and even go beyond that. And that is proclaim today, especially as Christians, that socialism is not only anti-American, it's not only anti-constitutional, it's not only self-destructive and historically disastrous, but it is a system that is in direct opposition to God and His Word.
Amen.
That's the problem we should have.
Amen.
I'm not asking you tonight if you're a Democrat or Republican. I'm asking tonight, is socialism biblical?
Right.
We're going to find out, and we found out, I believe, it's not.
Amen.
So tonight I'd like to preach on this subject, and it's a pretty bold statement. I'm going to make the bold statement and then hopefully back it up with what I'm going to say in the Bible tonight. Notice socialism, a system that hates God. I believe that.
Amen.
And I think I'll prove that tonight.
Amen.
Oh, I hear them crying out now. Wait a minute, wait a minute. We don't hate God. The system does.
Right.
The system does, absolutely.
Amen.
Again, when we speak of socialism, notice the definition on your sheet tonight. Somewhat changed or another angle of it this evening. It is a political and economic system under which the means of production are owned by the community as a whole, with government ensuring the equitable distribution of wealth. You know, on the surface, some may read that and say, well, that sounds good, that sounds fair, that sounds wonderful. It's not. It's not at all. As a matter of fact, a worldly dictionary, Merriam-Webster, says this, listen closely, quote, socialism is the transitional stage from capitalism to communism.
Amen.
They see it.
Right.
Why don't we? You see, in short, I believe we could say, and this is one your blank there tonight, I believe this is an important statement. Socialism is government force to control and change society. Can I say it again?
Amen.
Socialism is government force to control and change society. You know some real examples of socialism, you may argue communism, but they are self-proclaimed socialists, today are found in the countries like China and Cuba and Laos, countries like North Korea and Vietnam and Venezuela. Imagine in just those countries alone, there are over 1 billion people that are held captive by those regimes. They're fighting to get out, many of them fleeing to come to a place like America of freedom. And here we are looking at that as an answer to our problems.
Right.
You see, socialism is a system that hates God and hates His Word.
Amen.
Now you say, really? You really think that?
Amen.
Yes. Antonio Gramsci, an Italian Marxist, he wrote this. Listen to what they say themselves. He wrote, quote, socialism is precisely the religion that must overwhelm Christianity. You see, the socialists see Christianity and God and His Word as an enemy.
Right.
We're going to see why tonight. Adolf Hitler said this, the heaviest blow which ever struck humanity was Christianity. He went on to say this, quote, Christianity is an invention of sick brains. Sigmund Freud said this, religion is an illusion. Sound familiar? These are some of the things that our professors in some of the universities are saying. Communist Manifesto says this, communist society will abolish eternal truths. That's almost comical. You can't abolish eternal truths. They're eternal. But that's what they said. Communist society will abolish eternal truths, all religion and all morality as they exist. That's what they say. Don't tell me they're not an enemy.
Right.
They are.
Amen.
You know, the Soviet Union, from which, of course, 1917 to 1991, Marxist-Leninist policy consistently advocated the suppression of and ultimately the elimination of religious beliefs. That's what they wanted to do. They denounced religious beliefs as being superstitious and backwards. They destroyed churches. They destroyed synagogues. They ridiculed, harassed, and incarcerated and executed religious leaders and flooded the schools and media with anti-religious teachings. That's what they did. They were at war with God and His Word.
Right.
So let's ask the question tonight. Why? Why? Why the warfare against God? Why not leave the Christians alone? Why not leave God and His Word alone? And let us believe what we want to believe. Not so. Because it's an enemy of what they're trying to do.
Right. Amen.
You say, how so? Let me see if I can't lay this out for you. Let's notice, first of all, number one, the goal of God.
Amen.
What is God's goal? You know, there's many churches across this land that have no idea. They meet together every Sunday. They don't know why. They don't know what is God doing in this world? If you ask them that question, they'd probably say, I have no idea. But what is God's goal? What is God doing something in this world? Is there a purpose behind all of this? Of course there is. Well, what is it? Well, I think we know the answer. When God created man, He made us a living soul. I just read of that a moment ago. He breathed into us the breath of life. We were made in His image, and we were given a free will. And He created us to be in fellowship with Him. He created us so we would be in willing submission to our God, our Creator, submissive to His will, and obedient to our loving and caring Heavenly Father. That was His desire from the get-go.
Praise the Lord.
But something happened rather quickly in the Bible.
Right.
Genesis chapter 3, something happened that changed everything. Absolutely changed everything. Mankind chose, we know, to sin against our Heavenly Father, against our God, against the Almighty, against the Creator, the very one who made us.
Amen.
We chose to rebel against Him.
Right.
Look over at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. It was a very simple command. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden of Eden, of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, notice the penalty, thou shalt surely die. God said, don't. What did we do? We did.
Right.
We did exactly what He told us not to do.
Right.
We rebelled against Him. We sinned against His command. And when we sinned, understand what happened there. Our fellowship with God was broken. And all of humanity became condemned to death and hell because of our sin. And we've all inherited the sin nature that has a bent against God.
Right.
And the entire world after Genesis chapter 3 was plunged into sin. And ever since Genesis chapter 3, and even before, we know of God's foreknowledge and his plan before the foundation of the earth. But God has had two goals in mind for mankind. They're really simple. And he still has those goals today. This is what he's doing in this world. Don't miss it. What are they? Well, the first one, letter A, is this. God's primary goal is the redemption of mankind through Christ. That's simple. God's first goal for all of mankind, and this has been his plan throughout the entire Bible. He wants all men to be saved.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants. That's his will. You want to know the will of God for you? If you're not saved tonight, get saved.
Amen.
That's his will.
Praise the Lord.
2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
You see, it's God's desire to restore that broken fellowship or relationship with him, and the only way to do that is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, a God in the flesh, came to this earth, went to the cross of Calvary, and he did everything necessary on that cross to pay our sin debt in full.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if anyone, I say it again, anyone, the whosoever of the Bible, amen, will simply repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will have all their sins forgiven, past, present, and future, and have a home in heaven for all eternity when they die.
Amen.
I like that story. You see, redemption is God's primary goal for all of mankind.
Praise the Lord.
1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Romans 3:24, simple verse, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Again, this is God's primary goal for all of mankind, as that is the redemption of all men.
Amen.
I hope you're saved tonight. If not, get saved.
Amen.
But there's a second goal that God has. Not only the redemption of mankind, but letter B, the reproduction of Christ in us.
Amen.
You say, okay, preacher, I'm saved. I guess God's done with me then. I guess I'm just going to twiddle my thumbs till I get to heaven. Nope, there's more for you.
Amen.
God's not done with you. He's not done with me. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. God's desire is to produce, and it's a lifelong thing he does in all of us. It's producing Jesus Christ in us.
Amen.
He wants our lives to reflect him.
Praise the Lord.
He wants us to have the mind of Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We often quote Romans 8:28. But not as often, typically, Romans 8:29. But really, that's the end result of Romans 8:28.
Amen.
Notice we read in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to his purpose. Notice verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Don't let that word predestinate scare you. What are we predestinated for? He doesn't pick people to be saved and pick people to be lost. That's not what that verse is saying. When we're saved, we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. One day we will be like him when we get to heaven. Amen? And there's a process. It's called progressive sanctification all through our life, that he's working in our lives trying to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. Galatians 4:19, I like what Paul, he was so disappointed in the church at Galatia because they moved away from the gospel, and he said this, my little children of whom I travail in birth again, watch this, until Christ be formed in you.
Amen.
You say, what does God want from me? He wants you to be like the Lord. You want to know what that looks like, by the way? Just look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just see how he was. John 8:29, the Bible says, Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. You want to be like Christ? Do always those things that please God. Do everything that you read in the Bible. Just live it out and do it.
Amen.
By the way, nice little place to remember what it's about is the Sermon on the Mount, what the Christian life's about. There's a treatise on the Christian life in that sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But understand, it's Christ's likeness is when our lives conform to the image of Christ, conform to his word. We're in obedience to his word. We are yielded to him. It is when you and I don't only believe, but actually live out the Bible. We have the mind of Christ. Again, Christ's likeness, understand what that does too. It will produce the best life on this earth for all of us.
Amen.
You want to be blessed? You want to have God's favor upon your life? I do.
Amen.
That's what I do. Yield myself to the word of God. Yield myself to God's spirit. Strive to conform my life into the image of Christ. That's the goal. Look back with me at Deuteronomy chapter 11, if you would, please. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I think this sums it up. I understand he's talking to Old Testament Israel. I get that. But notice Deuteronomy 11:26. Young person, you ought to listen to this, because it applies to all of us today. Notice, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. That'd be like me putting two glasses out here and say, okay, here's some Coke. Of course, we always would like Coke. And then here's a little bit of poison, all right? Which one would you like? Well, one's a blessing and one's a curse.
Right.
We laugh at that and we say, well, we understand. Everybody wouldn't pick the poison. But when it comes to obeying Christ or not obeying him, which are we choosing? He says, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. That applies to individuals, that applies to churches, that applies to nations as well. A blessing and a curse. And this will display to a lost and dying world his image in us.
Amen.
That's the goal of God. So you say, preacher, that was pretty good, but what's that have to do with socialism? Well, let's look at number two. Not only the goal of God is being the redemption of man through Christ and the reproduction of Christ in us, but secondly, let's contrast that with the goal of socialism. It's interesting, and we go over to Romans chapter 1. Because we see what man does when he is in rebellion to God in Romans chapter 1.
Amen.
There is a degeneration here that's going on of actions and morality. Notice Romans chapter 1 in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, talking about the unregenerate world, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, notice this, into an image made like to corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is the warfare that's been going on since Genesis chapter 3.
Right.
You see, while we have God who desires for us to reflect His image, understand what the world is doing, and we'll apply it to the subject of this evening, and that is socialists. Socialists are striving to make man in their image.
Right.
That's what they're trying to do.
Exactly.
Don't miss what's going on here. In other words, socialism strives to make you and me and our children like them. That's what they want. They want us to think like them. They want us to believe like them. They want us to behave like them. They want us to have the same values as they do. And this, they say, if we all just conform to their thinking, will create that utopian society that all of us want. The problem is this. Their ideas, their beliefs, their behavior goes contrary to God.
Amen.
And His Word.
Right.
You know, one of the most influential socialist thinkers in history was a German political philosopher and economist named Karl Marx. Now, I have him and Engels next to him on your sheet tonight. Karl Marx said this, "Religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature." In Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked Communist, I'm using that for some of this material. It's a book about exposing communists and restoring freedom. He writes of Karl Marx. Listen to what he said. He says, "It's a terrible thing when a man sets out to create all other men in his own image. Such became the goal and all-consuming ambition of Karl Marx." Karl Marx dreamed of a day when the whole body of humanity could be forced into a gigantic social image which conformed completely to Marx's dream of a perfect society. And that's what they're trying to do to me and you.
Right.
It's exactly what they're trying to do. That is the goal of socialism today. You see, socialism strives to produce a society where all of mankind believes the way they believe. You say, what are some of the things they believe? I'm glad you ask. You ask. They believe that man has no creator. They believe that there is no life after death. They believe, he thinks that the socialist is the most advanced type of man. They believe that man can solve all of his own problems. You know, we just think this thing through as we're evolving. The socialist system strives to remove the restraints of ethics and morality. They're trying to remove those things. They strive to have exclusive control over all of human affairs. You see, what they're trying to do is they want a society that is in harmony with their agenda.
Right.
In that book, again, written by Paul Skousen, he was listing, he gathered together from their own writings their agenda, and he compiled them and had some references for all of them. And he had a chapter there with 46 items of their agenda and all the quotes. I'm not going to read them all. But let me read some of them. Here's their agenda. Are you ready to accomplish their goal? They want to limit our freedom of speech. They want to remove guns from our hands, the right to bear arms. They want to remove religion from our society. They want to remove our national boundaries. They want to control the internet and information. They want to implement their climate change regulations. They want to dismantle the Constitution. They want to discredit America's heroes. They want to rewrite history to discredit American culture. They want to regulate and control all the energy, all the transportation, all the education, all the media, all of private property, and all of health care. They want to limit family size. They want to discredit and destroy the traditional family. By the way, go to Black Lives Matter website and you'll see it there in black and white.
Right.
They want to destroy gender distinctions. They want to eliminate cash in the marketplace. They want to create a one-world government. And interestingly enough, they say they want to neutralize Israel. That's interesting. That's the goal of socialism.
Right.
But can I tell you this? Do you know who is standing in the way of all of this for them?
Amen.
You and me.
Right.
Bible-believing Christians. Amen. You see, the biggest obstacle for socialists are God and His Word and God's people. Because we understand that God has made us in His image, and our lives are to reflect the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are committed to obeying His Word, but they are just the opposite. They want to create a society in their image. Right. In the image of Karl Marx, if you will. You see, the human race that they are trying to produce is not the human race that God is trying to produce.
Right. Amen.
That's why there's a war going on. That's why they hate religion. That's why they hate God. So we see, number one, the goal of God. Then we see, number two, the goal of socialism. Then lastly, let's talk about this, the guise of socialism. The guise, not G-U-I-S, G-U-I-S-E. Go over to 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to check your spelling on the way out. Show me your sheep before I can let you go. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:13. Go there, if you would, please. So here they are. Here's this battle going on, this warfare. You have God trying to redeem man, God trying to mold mankind into the image of His Son. That will produce the greatest blessings upon this earth. Then we have socialism that's pushing back against this, trying to create man and humans in their nature. How are they trying to accomplish this? How are they doing it? We're going to look at that tonight. Notice 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Amen.
That's not a pessimistic view of life, by the way. That's a biblical view of life.
Amen.
Things are going to get worse and worse and worse. We understand that.
Right.
There could be pockets of revival. I hope there is before we leave this place. But the tendency, it's going to tend to evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. And we see what's happening here. This whole system is really prepping the world for the system of the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist during the tribulation is going to function under a socialist system. He's going to own everything. He's going to control everything. All the buying and selling will be controlled by him. That's what he's striving for, and that's what's going to happen.
Right.
But what's happening now? How are they accomplishing this? Now, remember that statement that we made there right under the definition of socialism. Socialism is government force to control and change society. That's what they want to do. They're going to use the government to try to make us into what they want us to be. You see, socialists have one main goal, and that is this: putting themselves in charge.
Right.
We read from that same book I've been quoting, "The biggest mistake in recent decades by the world's free people is a prolonged mental demise into apathy, stagnation, and neglect. We've lulled ourselves to sleep. We've been sleeping. We haven't been paying attention like we should." And I understand that. Sometimes, well, we got them in government. They're going to do what's right. They have our best interests in mind. After all, they raised their hand and swore an oath on the Constitution. Certainly they'd honor that oath. We're in trouble. Within a single lifespan, he goes on to say, the world has changed from hope to hype, from concern to contempt, from cautious to callous, from helping neighbors to now fearing them. They brainwashed us. We're afraid of everything. We're even afraid of each other. What's happened to us? What are they doing to us? What have they done? That old boiling the frog deal, you know?
Right.
Little by little, they brought us down a path. You see, they've brought us through phases here to get us to where we are today. Thank God we're not all the way into communism or totalitarianism
right.
yet. But we certainly aren't in pure capitalism today. What are the phases that socialists are using and have used to gain control of a nation? Well, here's the first one, letter A, and that is this: control through propaganda. I'm tired of hearing lies, aren't you?
Right.
You know why I can't stand the news? It's a bunch of lies.
Right.
and I get frustrated. They can talk to me. I can't talk back to them, though. Think about it. We have this invited guest, if you will, that we place in our living room, whether it be a television or a computer, that preaches to us, and we can't even debate back. We yell at it, but they don't hear a thing. It's propaganda. Your neighbors might. Your wife might. What do? It's propaganda. They spread lies about socialism. This is the way it's always been. How? By presenting an abstract idea. By presenting a dream, a utopian promise of a better world, a fairer world. Like that old John Lennon Imagine song, you know? Where there's no possessions and no countries, he said, and no religion and no heaven. And all people will be living for today, living a life of peace and sharing all the world. We've been hearing this propaganda again and again, and they demean capitalism. They'll even promise things that they know are going to be impossible. Student loan forgiveness, universal health care, subsidized housing, you name it. They'll promise it. No economy in the world has been able to sustain that because it's impossible. It's propaganda. You see, they promise that this socialism is the road to a perfect and peaceful future society. That's how they start. And that started way, way back. Phase one. Phase two. Control through regulation. What do they do then? Well, what they do is they get themselves into government positions through lies and deceit and people's ignorance and blind trust. And they get voted in. And what do? They begin to implement socialistic policies. Do you know Western culture has been adopting socialistic thinking for a very long time? We think socialistically more than we want to admit.
Right.
We do. Something happens and we say, well, the government will take care of that. They'll just declare a state of emergency and they'll take care of that. After all, that's their responsibility. Isn't it? I ask you this. Is it? We've been thinking this way. I'm not saying all regulations are bad, but socialistic regulations are designed to gain control. To take away our freedoms, to restrict our liberties. That's the goal.
Right.
You see, socialists use a regular stream of new laws and requirements to control all economic activities and production. That's what it is. Many of them in the name of doing good. After all, you know, there's too many sea turtles dying, aren't there? So we ought to restrict the use of straws. Too much heart disease? Well, limit the size of soda. Too many babies? Limit the pregnancies. Too many car accidents? Issue more regulations on the driver and the automobile manufacturers. Somebody says something online that's politically incorrect? Remove it. Here we go. You see, the socialist answer is always more laws, more restrictions, more requirements,
right,
more limitations, and more control. And quite frankly, in some cases, it's completely out of hand.
Right.
You see, what do you mean by that? Do you know, in Oregon, there was a man sentenced to 30 days in jail because he was collecting rainwater on his property. The state of Oregon says they own the rainwater that falls on the state of Oregon. And he had to have a special permit to do that. His own property. In California, do I have to say anything else? Just stop there. I could go for a while. There's a little 10-year-old girl named Annabelle Lockwood. And she was told that she needed a permit and the proper equipment to operate her front yard lemonade stand. They said she needed liability insurance. She couldn't do that. Selling 50-cent glasses, used to be a nickel when I was a kid, 50-cent lemonade glasses to her neighbors. It got popular, I understand that, but that's what they did to a 10-year-old. In Massachusetts, it's a law that children in daycare, it's a law that they must brush their teeth after lunch. It's a law. You say, well, I'd like that law in our Christian school. Man, I think. Especially with those offices. Woof. You know, the government even provides toothpaste and toothbrush holders to the daycare. What in the world? Let's backtrack 218 years to a man by the name of Thomas Jefferson in 1802. Listen to what he said. He said, I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. That was over 220, about 218 years ago. A wise statement. But that's where we are. So we see phase one, control through propaganda. Phase two, control through regulations. That's where I believe we are today, personally. Phase three is this, control through force. That's the final phase. I've said this years ago, I did, and I hope I'm wrong. But I said, I wouldn't be surprised if we were the generation that we see preachers go to jail again. I mean, they have confiscated sermons from people, and I think it was in Texas a few years back, and they've done all kind and all of this hate speech and all of this stuff that's going on. I would not be surprised in the next 10 years we're going to see some preachers be thrown in jail. I hope I'm wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised. You see, the final phase of socialism is when all human activity underneath that regime or that government is restrained or compelled to action with the use of force. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. Or you're going to pay. We'll confiscate your bank account. We'll fine you till you can't exist anymore. We're going to find something wrong in your building, but you are going out of business if you don't comply. I believe that's what it is. That's what it is. The use of force. Penalties and fines and restrictions and catch 22 laws, imprisonments, a multitude of fees and taxes, however you want to call it. You see, socialism is well underway when the government begins using force to violate the basic rights of human beings.
Right.
The rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, of property and privacy and all of that.
Right.
It's well underway. And those of us that stand up for our God-given rights, we're the enemy.
Amen.
We are what's wrong in America. You people that got your, how they say it, your Bibles and your God and your religion and your guns and your freedom of speech. Fooey on you. Away with you. Let our system take over. We'll take care of all the problems. Folks, it's a war.
Amen.
It's not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
But against principalities and powers. And the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
We are seeing a battle over the truth of God and His Word and who He is and the image that He made us.
Amen.
It has well been past time for all of us, including this preacher, to stand up and speak up.
Amen.
Kindly, compassionately, don't be rude and ignorant. Don't be violent. That's not what we're after. But stand up and speak the truth in love.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray.